Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 560. Little birds in the news to start off this morning. The news is that a new species of bird has been discovered in northeast India and adjacent parts of China by a team of scientists from China, Sweden, the U.S., India, and Russia. It's been named the Himalayan or Himalayan forest thrush, Zoothera salimali, named for the great Indian ornithologist Salim Ali. Reported in the journal Avian Research, the scientists used field observations and museum specimens in their sleuthing. The bird, very similar to another forest thrush, but analysis of its song, among other things, revealed it to be a separate species. Probably worth pointing out that this is not a bird that had never been seen before. It was just thought to be sharing a single species designation with a close relative. It was, you might say, hiding in plain sight. Still, finding new bird species is a pretty rare thing anymore. In the last 15 years, about 5 new species have been discovered annually, mainly in South America. The Himalayan or Himalayan forest thrush, only the 4th new bird species described from India since 1949.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Some of the things we thought you might find interesting on our Talking Birds Facebook page. How about this one? The future of birding. And will we all have our own DNA kits to confirm bird IDs? It's kind of scary. This is not scary. This is beautiful. The beauty of engineering. If you haven't seen this, you must, repeat must, visit our page to see this amazing video showing an incredibly complex series of gears bringing a little wooden hummingbird to life. We're pretty sure that you will love it. And how dogs are helping researchers find endangered species in our national parks. All those things on our Facebook page right now at Talkin' Birds. Our blog this week, the title of our Talkin' Birds blog this week is Female Songbirds. Quiet for good reason. From Australia, Flinders University researcher Sonia Kleindorfer confirms what we suspected about this. That's on this week's blog, easily found at talkingbirds.com. Well, here's our conservation salute of the week. It goes to Canada's recently elected Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for beginning to convince folks who care about saving our planet that Canada is becoming a positive force for climate action and the transition to a clean energy economy. Trudeau's predecessor gutted environmental regulations and was an aggressive booster of the ill-fated Keystone XL pipeline and of Alberta's tar sands industry in general. Prime Minister Trudeau has been in office just over 2 months, but in that short time, the Sierra Club suggests he has already done more things to protect the environment and battle climate change than the previous leader did in 10 years. Among those things, he's called for a ban on new oil tanker traffic on British Columbia's north coast, essentially killing the tar sands-related Northern Gateway pipeline. He's committed to modernizing the National Energy Board, and he's freed government scientists to speak to the media, as his Minister for Innovation, Science, and Economic Development declared that, quote, our government values science and will treat scientists with respect, end quote. That's a small sample of what the new prime minister is doing. So our conservation salute points north to new Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Still to come on our show today, we'll connect live with Nancy Brennan up in Vermont to hear about her product that she says can save a lot of birds from cat attacks. We'll also go live to beautiful Orleans, Massachusetts, where Mike O'Connor waits to greet us from Cape Cod's world-famous Birdwatchers General Store. Among other destinations this morning, the Talkin' Birds Laboratory, or Laboratory, as we like to say, where our very own Debbie Bleacher will provide some Science Corner insight about the recording of bird sounds. We've been trying to get to this for the last few weeks. Hopefully we'll get there today. And we'll be talking with callers from who knows where when we start tossing out clues about today's mystery bird and give away another fabulous feeder from Droll Yankees. Meanwhile, up next, our friend Morris. Morris Bassinus, that is today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Well, the National Wildlife Service Field Guide to the Birds of North America describes today's featured feathered friend as a boreal booby. That sounds like quite an insult, but it isn't really. It's just saying that this is a northern cousin of tropical birds like the brown booby and the masked and blue-footed boobies. They might also refer to this bird as NG. Well, it doesn't mean no good. It means northern gannet. Well, I had the pleasure of watching about 150 of these spectacular seabirds on the tip of Outer Cape Cod. Although they were on the move, so I didn't get to see any of their spectacular dives this time. Northern gannets will often dive from as high as 130 feet above the sea, plunging into the water, then diving deeper and flying underwater to depths of more than 70 feet, catching fish as they make their way back up to the water's surface. But these birds are wonderful to see in flight, too, with their pointed wings, bill and tail, striking white bodies and black wingtips in the adults, and a wingspan of almost 6 feet. It's a pretty cool bird to see up close. The head in the adults has a yellowish tint. The bill is pale blue, outlined in black. Bare skin on the face is a dark blue-gray. It has a bright blue ring around the eyes, and the gray-black legs and feet have a line in green or electric blue extending down to the toes.
Wow!
The northern gannet will, however, win few prizes for the beauty of its call. The northern gannet, a beautiful boreal booby, and today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Thanks again for being with us here on our show number 560. We hope you'll visit our website, talkinbirds.com, and please do follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Talkin' Birds. We're happy to say that we passed the 10,000 followers mark on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and we like to think we have some stuff worth looking at, as we described there a few minutes ago. So we hope you'll visit us there at Talkin' Birds. Well, a sad truth is that owned and free-range domestic cats kill somewhere between hundreds of millions and several billion birds every year here in the U.S. In fact, latest research suggests billions might be closer to it. Many conservation organizations urge owners to keep their cats indoors, but not everybody can or wants to follow that advice. So what to do? Is there any way to have cats be outdoors without them killing all these birds? Well, maybe there is, thanks to the work of our guest this morning and the product that she has created. The product is a brightly colored item called the Birds Be Safe Collar. And the creator and owner of the company that makes them is Nancy Brennan. She's with us this morning from up in central Vermont. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Ray.
Great to have you with us. And this is kind of an amazing thing. I don't know that we've ever interviewed somebody who's selling a product like this, but the apparent effectiveness of this collar is being touted by some pretty serious researchers at some highly respected institutions. So we think it's really worth talking about here, and it certainly is a big problem to deal with for sure. And we'll get to that research stuff, but tell us first, Nancy, if you would, how this thing works and how you got the idea for it.
Okay, so I call it now the Birds Be Safe collar cover, because it's really a a tube of fabric that goes over the cat's collar.
Over the regular collar.
And it flares out around a cat's neck. And it's made with bright colors for a reason, and that's because songbirds have special eye anatomy that makes them see bright colors extraordinarily well. We can talk about that a little bit. But I thought of the idea of making a cat more visible when it's stalking birds and thought maybe birds would gain the time necessary to fly away. Hmm. Most of the time when a cat is stalking, it's almost invisible. It moves incredibly slowly, like most people know. And it pounces or leaps at the prey at the last minute. So I thought, well, if the birds could see it in advance, would they ID the predator and notice the threat and fly away? And that seems to be exactly what happens.
Hmm.
So it was a little bit of bird biology and a hunch and then an experiment on my cat, George, who was... my husband gave me permission. I'll tell you the truth. He gave me permission. Throw me under the bus. Say it was my cat because it was his cat. I was a bird watcher, and I only had an indoor cat, but I met a man with an outdoor cat. And so that's how I came to be both a bird watcher and someone with an outdoor cat. And George was hunting in the woods, and he was up on the highly skilled list. He was... He caught a lot of birds, and I put this bright fabric around George's neck, and out he went, and he stopped catching birds entirely. And after a spring and summer of peace and tranquility and George not bringing birds in through the cat door, I thought, you know, this is a conservation tool, and it's, I guess I'm the one who has to try to do something about it and let people know about it, because it was amazingly effective.
Well, I think you've said something to the effect that people say, well, you know, if this was so good, somebody would have thought about it before, and you had an answer for them.
Well, I did think of it. I mean, it is a simple idea, and it really struck me out when George brought in a grouse this one particular spring. I stood there and said, I'm going to stop you. And literally the same day, it popped in my head. Hey, didn't I just read about songbirds seeing bright colors? So, sometimes inventions happen like that. You've got the right situation. I had the right goals. I wanted to stop this cat from killing birds, and it works like a charm. I mean, I'm personally still just amazingly thrilled that I happened to invent it, because it has great value for bird conservation.
And you mentioned about, cats being so stealthy and so quiet and moving so slowly, and that's, I guess, the reason why bells don't work.
Right. Oh, I had George decked out in a collar with about 5 bells. It didn't slow him down at all.
Wow.
They move so slowly, mm-hmm. the bells, they actually think that cats learn how to make the bells not ring.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So a study was done here in the States, I think upstate New York, and another in Australia, that showed some pretty dramatic success in the percentage reduction of birds being victimized by cats. Give us an overview, Nancy, of those results, if you would.
Okay, so the St. Lawrence study, St. Lawrence University in upstate New York, they tested the product in 12 weeks of the springtime and 12 weeks of fall, and they found overall about an 87% reduction in the number of birds caught.
Wow.
Comparing to when the test cats either wore Birds Be Safe or they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when they wore it, they caught 87% fewer birds.
Wow.
Which matched my customers' feedback. I've surveyed my customers off and on for years. And it does work that well. People are skeptical, but it birds, if you think about songbirds mating plumage, it's all based on bright colors, and the songbird eye has extra rods and cones that help them pick out those bright colors.
By the way, what about the behavior of your cat George? Did he change his behavior, like in the house, after no longer hunting the way he did?
Right. So he had a cat door. He went outside at will, and he was a dawn hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually just started sleeping in after about a year. He just said, forget it. I guess I'm no good anymore.
Mm.
Which I do tell people that. That's not a promised result, mm-hmm. but that I have heard that story back from other cat owners. And a thing that that brings up is that songbirds see these bright colors really well, even at dawn. In low mm-hmm. light, they have extra rods mm-hmm. that particularly help them see bright colors. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just such good luck. I'm just so happy for the birds, to be honest.
Well, the numbers of owned house cats or pets killing birds is staggering, but an even bigger problem is feral cats, those unowned cats that live in the wild, essentially. And speaking of skeptics, there are some, Nancy, in the scientific community who point out that the cat collar cover doesn't deal with the problem of those feral cats, which not only kill huge numbers of birds, but also create many other problems in the environment. But is there some way they could become a target of your product, or is that not feasible?
So it's not feasible for me to figure out how to make the product work also for feral cats. You have to handle the cat to put it on. You have to somewhat monitor that it's, you know, not getting wet or dirty, or you have to kind of take care of it. So I'm personally only able to market a pet product. Mm-hmm. If someone else can figure out how to use the color concept and do something beneficial in terms of feral cats and their impact of birds, that's great. But I will mention we have about 65 million pet cats in the U.S. that mm-hmm. go outdoors every day. So I kind of have my work cut out for me right there. That's a pretty big focus and a big market of people who need to know about this option so they can take some action to mm-hmm. protect birds from their pet cats.
So what's your message, Nancy, to cat owners? Let them run free with a collar on, keep them inside if possible. How do you approach that?
What I say often is I support the Cats Indoors campaign and its ideas, and if everyone kept their cats indoors, that would be great. And because I know that there are about 60 to 65 million pet cats going outdoors, if the cat owners got a commitment to that, then at least they can take some responsibility for the impact on birds, and birds be safe. Cat collar covers can protect a lot of birds if they can add that to their pet's wardrobe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny looking, but it really works.
Nancy Brennan is the creator of the Birds Be Safe cat collar cover and owner of the company that makes them. BirdsBeSafe.com is the website. Nancy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Coming up, our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Did you know that winter is when backyard birds need our help the most? Birds' energy demands are huge in the cold weather, and natural food sources are scarce, especially during snow and ice storms. Here's an idea. As you're stocking up on winter supplies for yourself, pick up a feeder and wild bird food for your backyard songbirds. Look for the Audubon Park brand, a top choice among bird lovers for more than 40 years. This season, try the brand's new songbird selections with NutriThrive line, which is enhanced with vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids that birds need. But that have become scarce in the natural world. Like Audubon Park Bird Food on Facebook to join the conversation about feeding the birds. Audubon Park's products are made in the USA and meet the highest quality and safety standards in the industry. And Audubon Park's products are easy to find at your supermarket, lawn and garden store, farm and feed market, and online retailers. For more information, visit AudubonPark.com. That's AudubonPark.com. Get some for your backyard birds today. Audubon Park Wild Bird Food.
Talkin' Birds is made possible in part by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. On the Mystery Bird Contest, you are eligible if you haven't been a winner here on Talkin' Birds in the past 6 months. And if you're not hearing our Sunday morning show live, well, don't forget, you can listen live online from anywhere and participate in our Mystery Bird Contest and other things here on the program. Just go to talkinbirds.com. to see how to do it. No G in talking. It's very easy. And on the Mystery Bird Contest, the number to call is 781-837-4900. And whatever you do, don't wait until later to call. If you have any inkling about the idea of our bird, by all means, call in and let us know what you think or what you know. 781-837-4900 is the number. We have the beautiful Droll Yankees bottom-up 16-inch finch feeder designed with perches that are above the feeder ports, if you can picture that. Great for goldfinches and purple finches, chickadees, juncos, white-throated sparrows, but not good for other birds that can't feed upside down, like house sparrows and starlings and even, I guess, house finches. So that's the feeder, and that's the prize. 781-837-4900 is the number. Here's the sound of our mystery bird. That sound is not really a great clue, not a bird you'd hear really, but it's kind of fun to listen to. Our mystery bird is a medium-sized diving duck with a slight bump or peak on the back of its head. Its bill is bluish with a small black tip. The male has a black head, chest, and rump with gray sides. Kind of black on the ends and white in the middle is one way it's been described. Unlike its closely related and slightly larger close relative, our bird prefers fresh water, where it feeds on clams, snails, crustaceans, aquatic insects, and aquatic plants. That's our mystery bird. What do you think it is? Tell us if you know, or take a guess, because the drawing will determine our winner if no correct answer is received. 781-837-4900 is the number to call on our mystery bird contest. And that beautiful Droll Yankees bottom-up 16-inch finch feeder is our prize. Coming up next, we're going to check in with Mike O'Connor live from Cape Cod. Let's ask Mike in just 1 minute. Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org. Here on Talkin' Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. If we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up. We must step up so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
Well, it's time for our Let's Ask Mike segment, and today we are going live to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, where Mike awaits. Are you there, Mike?
No, geez, you woke me up, but I'm here.
I know this is early for you. It's almost 10 o'clock in the morning
here. It's a different time zone down here.
It is, and you're just getting over the snow, I think, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, remember last weekend?
You got blasted.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't even go, you know. We can handle it, though. We're tough.
Tough down there in the Lower Cape. Well, listen, we're doing our thing live here, Mike, and I just wanted to kind of give you a heads up. You can't use the kind of language you usually use when we're taping this.
There'll be no editing this week.
We can't edit. We're not on a delay or anything, so, you know, just a little heads up there.
I'll see what happens.
Hey, we get a lot of questions for you, Mike, sent in by listeners, but what kind of questions are you getting at the store there, especially here in the dead of winter, here at the end of January?
So the dead of winter, you would think would be a dull time.
Yeah.
But I had a guy come in the other day, and speaking of mystery birds like you always have, and he came in with that's like the worst photo of a bird I had ever seen, and he says it's a pine warbler. And in discussion, I said, well, how big is it? And he said, about the size of a catbird. I said, well, then that eliminates a pine warbler. Yeah. But he was insistent that it was. Yeah. And since it's wintertime and there's not a lot going on, I said, okay, dude, let's go to your house and see this mystery pine warbler. So we went up to East Ham, and in his backyard, right on his window feeder, an inch away from our noses, was feeding a Western Tanager.
Wow.
Yeah, Western Tanager is a bird we don't get to see much. Every few years, one pops up. They're typically a bird from, as you can tell, from the western states. But this time of year, they should be down in Central America. But every once in a while, a bird, you know, gets the wrong map or the GPS isn't working right and goes east. And then they hit the ocean, and they don't know what to do. They don't want to fly anymore. And they hang out here, and every few years, one pops up. And this one was coming right to his window. And, you know, and I say this to folks all the time, I said, if you're going to feed birds, do it where you can see it. I go by people's houses all the time, and they got their feeders, like, down on the lower 40 somewhere, and they don't even know what's going. But this guy had it right coming to his window, and he's sitting by the fire, and right on his window was coming a beautiful Western Tanager, and He was a little disappointed it wasn't a pine warbler. But it was a treat for me, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think when people see a bird and they decide what they think it is, it's kind of hard to shake them sometimes.
You're absolutely right about that. He kept taking the book out and holding it up. Damn book away.
This is it. What's wrong with you? Wayne Peterson from Mass Audubon had a good story about that. Someone insisted here, and this was up in somewhere in New England, that they had a wood stork in their yard.
Oh, my God.
And he thought that was kind of unusual. And he said, well, send a picture. And they finally sent him a picture, and it was a great blue heron.
There you go.
But even after Wayne Peterson, who's quite an expert, said, you know, that's a great blue heron, the fellow who sent it in said, nope, it's a wood stork. So,
that you might spoil it. Go ahead, let it be a wood stork.
Yeah, I want it to be a wood stork, so it is a wood stork. That's all. Well, that just goes to show you, though, how you can get some real surprises just at your kitchen window.
Right, right. People have feeders and heated bird baths and all that. They get to see some unusual birds, and again, get them close by. You know, I say really close because the closer they are, the less window strikes will be a problem, and the better you'll get to see them. And you'll get to identify him better, or in this case, misidentify him better, but it's still fun.
Yeah, indeed. There goes our music, Mike. I think we're already out of time here.
Not a problem, Ray. Hey, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
It was great having you on the line there. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, see you
Mike
later.
O'Connor, live from down there in Cape Cod, home of the Bird Watchers General Store. Orleans, Massachusetts. It is truly an amazing place. Check out their website. What would that be? That would be birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. I'm pretty sure about that. And even if you're too far away to go to the store, you can certainly go to the website there. And by the way, please send your questions in for Mike. Email them to ray@talkinbirds.com. No G in talking. And if you'd like a signed copy of Mike's latest book, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me? Please include your mailing address with your question. All right, I think we're back here on the mystery bird contest, if I'm not mistaken, and trying to identify this mystery bird here. It's a medium-sized diving duck with a slight bump or peak on the back of its head. Its bill is bluish with a small black tip. The male has a black head, chest, and rump with gray sides. Kind of black on the ends and white in the middle is one way this bird has been described. Unlike its closely related and slightly larger cousin, our bird prefers fresh water where it feeds on clams and snails and crustaceans, aquatic insects, and aquatic plants. What is it? 781-837-4900 is the number to call. What do you think it is? Who's first here, Tim? Joanne is in either Kearneysville or Kearneysville, West Virginia. I'm going to guess Kearneysville, but that's probably wrong. Tim is frowning. I think I got that wrong. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
How did I do? Kearneysville or Kearneysville?
Kearneysville.
Kearneysville. I knew yes. I was. Yes, well, I was wrong about
you
that.
You were close.
No, I was close. Exactly. I got the other part correct. So where is that, by the way, Kearneysville?
It's actually not far from Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, and Antietam, West Virginia National Park, that area in there. So we have a lot of good birding around here.
Sounds like beautiful country. West Virginia,
yes,
Mountain Mama. All right, so what do you think, Joanne, on the mystery bird?
It's a red-headed duck.
Red-headed duck. That is a top-quality guess, but not exactly what we had in mind there.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, Joanne.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Max in Newton, Massachusetts. Is that right? Yes, indeed. Hello there, Max.
Hi.
What do you think our mystery bird is, Max?
Is it a lesser scalp?
I believe it is a lesser scalp or scop, either one. And, of course, the close relative, the greater, but you zoned right in on it. Hey, we're out of time. So, Max, thank you for calling. Stay on the line. We'll get your address and send you that beautiful Droll Yankees feeder. How's that sound?
Good.
Okay. That is our show for today. Executive producer Mark Duffield, associate producer Debbie Bleacher, engineer is Tim McKinney. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
Show. I like that.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Bird Watchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds, I love that show!